going to go well, Monica.
This reminds me a little bit of church during COVID. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll start singing a few songs. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength. And we just pray that this day, Father, for your good hand upon us. Lord, we're getting close to the two or three being gathered together, and I pray you please, Lord, we covet your presence this morning. As we lift up our praises and prayer requests, as we read your word and preach and teach, please be with us, Father. And for our brothers and sisters, I pray especially for Norman at this time and the legal things that he has in front of him. You work in the hearts and minds of William and Roger and in the whole legal system, Lord, and help him get that sorted out. Pray you too, Father, for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang as they travel, for Colin as he's out and about, and for Steve and for Pat, Lord. I pray you please for your good hand upon them. Thank you for seeing them through this past week over the kidney stones and the gallstones. Good to see them up and walking in such good form, and I pray you for everything that's for the procedure on Tuesday, Lord. Lord, I know our brothers and sisters across the world need you, and I pray that you would supply their daily bread, spiritually speaking, and physically. And Lord, I pray you too for Israel, and for, I pray you, Lord, for supporters to be blessed and their detractors to be cursed, Lord, just like you said in the Bible, and plainly so, so that people can see there is a real consequence to oppose you and reject. It would be your will too, Lord, this morning. I would pray for a wee break in the weather this afternoon as we go up to the Crescent Link. But most importantly, for saved souls to be edified, Lord, and for lost souls to get saved. Please bless the leaflets that went out yesterday, Lord, and the people that, even those that refused, Father, that had to think about it. I pray you, please save souls. Love you and thank you. Pray your good hand upon us as we take this time in your presence. And pray most importantly for your will to be done. We love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. Alright, let's begin with number 4. We'll just do them in page order. I think we have 4 enough to keep us going up until we open our Bibles for the second time. And number 4 is holy, holy, holy. Let's make a joyful noise. If we make double the volume, the church will sound much fuller. Thank you. 10 or 11 this morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Alright, number 11 it is. Number 11. Immortal, invisible God, only wise. You've got the tough job today, well, holding up the back row, just like in rugby, but less physically strenuous. Yeah. Number 11, immortal, invisible God, only wise, will stand as we say. Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all of the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, excuse me, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day. But I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen. Amen. Then it was 400 years, and then the world ended up in such a state that when God actually did come down in the open to a cross. Amen. I don't think it's that much different today. Just want to remind you all, both of you, that I am the only one with a green prayer list today. And that's the number of people with a green prayer list has just increased by 50%.
I already had one.
Oh, by...
There.
By 33% then.
Sorry.
Or by 100% of people, first of all, and then by 50. Please just... remember the names that are on that. Please do pray for people's private prayer requests. You got anyone? Private prayer requests? I'm not asking you for details. I'll put Mark and Monica and me. Please do pray for Norman. He has legal things going on, and they've been going, they're into their fourth year of going on, and it's thing like that in the back of your mind, do your head, and please do pray for it. Don't forget to pray for Pat and Steve. Steve most especially, and on Tuesday they're supposed to be going in with a tiny little tube. Excuse me. And sucking out the little piece of cholesterol that has caused them so much discomfort and actually sickness over the past week or so out of his bile duct. So please do pray about that. After that, and I think maybe a day or two of antibiotics and just observation, I reckon he should be home before the end of next week. But please do pray about that. Appreciate prayers from Monica's mom. She's still suffering with the leftovers of a break and a very curly back and a stroke, but those other, the big ones are in the years gone by, please do pray for her. For Will's granny, for Frank, as he recovers from the surgery on his mouth. And don't forget to pray for each other. I don't know about you, but I certainly can do with the prayers. There's a lot. Check all the names. If you're stuck for something to pray about, even just to call the names out, you might know who they are, but you mightn't know who they are, but the Lord does. Oh yes, and don't forget Norman's sister Edith with her eyes and even heart and the surgery that she is bound to be treatment for, and please do pray about that. Amen. I guess about that. Got this fella Alan with the cancer, the blown nose.
Do you want to mention the Steve that rang me yesterday?
I can do. I was that yesterday, Chris? Did I mention to you?
Lunchtime.
Was it lunchtime? So I don't think I've spoken to anybody about it. A while back, there was one of these scammers that rang up saying he was from Microsoft. Did I mention it to you? And I said, look, you can't be going on like that. God is not well pleased with people doing things like that. I tell you what, you've got my phone number and my email. Give me a ring whenever you're out of it, or if you're ever over in Northern Ireland, or maybe even the UK, we can meet up and see what's happening. But I got a phone call from him yesterday to say as much that he was supposed to be coming to the UK. Took me a bit, but please do pray for Steve. Like, it says his name is Steve, and it could be, but he has an Indian accent, so it might be... might be an anglified name that he uses, so please do pray for Steve as well. There's a lot going on. You all know there's a lot going on, and just pray that the Lord's will be done. Keep your eyes on the Lord regardless, and just do as the Lord leads and guides. We have number 13, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Is that mine or is that somebody else's?
It must be yours.
It must be mine. We'll remain seated for number... You know what? We're not remain seated. We'll have a wee word of prayer. Well, you lead us and then we'll sing. Thank you, sir.
Good Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for giving us the health, the strength to come out to your presence, Lord. Be with us, Lord. and then promise that we're true to God and your name, that there you will be ours, Lord. Thank you, your promise, Lord, that does not bless me, Lord. We do everything except when you're sick, Lord, or tithes, or offerings, or praises, or prayers, or worship, Lord, and then all be accepted. It's blessed the sermon, Lord, and use it with the part of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to reach out to the clips, those that are listening to it, either through the CD or the internet or whatever means, Lord. See, so see, and may it greatly be glorified in all the earth as due thee, Lord. And Lord, with us, to stay, Lord, with the people to make it with Frank, heal mightily, powerfully, take away any discomfort, and help take away any infection of any, Lord, help mightily, powerfully, and bring mighty church as well, Lord. Bless that young man as well, Lord. Mm-hmm. With my own Dr. Shine, Lord, keep him safe, and bring my church to the point of time as well, Lord. With Tom, where it is, Lord, to live from any trouble, keep him safe, keep him from any trouble, or any harm, or any injury, or anything that would do him any harm at all, Lord. Bless him, keep him close to walk today as well, Lord. Also save Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord, save them mightily and powerfully by the Holy blood, and the sons sacrificed on the cross, Lord. With Christian to the Lord, bring them close to walk today, move them and keep them safe as well, Lord. Also give Stephen Pat, give Pat some rest, Lord, give us from any trouble, keep us safe and well, Lord. And with Stephen as well, Lord, if there have been any infection, take away, take any pain, discomfort, give them sleep, give them strength, and Lord, embolden them, and Lord, use them in that hospital as well, Lord. With Norman, as he's with his sister, give his sister help her, mightily and powerfully. She's going for an operation, Lord, mightily and powerfully. Give the surgeons, give them wisdom, give them strength, give them skill, Lord, and help her to remove any problems in her body, Lord, and draw a closer walk with thee, Lord, and save her if she's been saved as well, Lord. With Norman, keep him safe and well, Lord, and give her the best one, keep him safe. Give Pat Hain, deliver from any trouble. Heal her mentally, heal her body, Lord, give her strength, Lord, and embolden her walk in thee as well, Lord. With John Bradfield, keep him safe and well, Lord. John, goes walk thee, keep him safe and well. Bless him, from any pain and stuff that he may have, Lord, and Lord, help him in his daily walk today as well, Lord. With his service today, Lord, give him one for another, Lord, and give us a blessing for him and for the good of Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Now I will sing Guide Me, O Thy Great Jehovah, number 13 in the lead line verse.
Guide me, O Thy Great Jehovah.
Number 30 then was the next one.
It was.
Let's do number 30. Be number 30, we'll stand as we sing it, and then we will open our Bibles. Number 30, I need Jesus. The vocal cords will be well warmed up by it. Inside and out by way of perspectives, and we're looking at Matthew chapter 20, We're going to read from verses 1 through verse 16. Amen. What's the proper name for that? Just the parable of the workers in the vineyard. There we go. It says that at the top of my Bible. I hope that clarifies it a little bit for you. Amen. In my Bible, all these words are in red, and that means that these are the quoted words of Jesus Christ, and I hope they will be a help to you this morning. The Word of God says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever was right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have brought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Amen. Title is Inside and Out. We're looking at this from the point of view of point of views or perspectives. And amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time. And we just pray your good hand upon us as we settle down and have a wee bit of Bible study and consider a few things from this portion of your word. For anyone, Lord, that is standing up to preach the full counsel of your word, I pray your good hand upon them too, and upon those that hear. Please, Lord, protect those that are living in countries, excuse me, where it's getting more and more difficult to preach and to teach. And I pray even over in this country, Lord, for souls to waken up and to be made aware just of exactly where things are right now. Please, Lord, add a sense of urgency to our labours for you and to our lives when it comes to meeting with you and listening to you and praising you and thanking. Please be with us now, Lord, around, and just bless us as we take this time around your word, and be with our absent brethren, be with those that have slipped and slid, be with those in other churches and groups that have gathered together. Please, Lord, even now, convict lost souls of sin and judgment to come. I love you and thank you. I ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will, Lord. Amen. Amen. Who hasn't heard the parable of the workers of the vineyard before? You heard it before, Mrs. Bradfield. Well, my work's done. We'll close up with a prayer and then we'll go home. No, we're not going to do that. It seems like quite an interesting parable in two parts. And the first is the laborer, I do believe that is the Lord, going out and calling people, as it says at the very, very end, many are called, but few are chosen. And then the middle part of little part, bar the verb. The second part is whenever it comes to payment, and the men or the different labourers receiving the payment, if you like, for their day's labours. Now it says the kingdom of heaven is like, it doesn't mean it's exactly like, there is a point that is being made here. I'm going to try and cover one or two or three or four points just as the Lord leads and provides. As we begin this portion of God's word, we see a man that is a householder, I believe the Lord, going out and calling men to come and work in his vineyard. And he goes out at various times in the days, and those times in the days, I do believe, are the times in people's lives. There are people that the first hour of the day, or early in the morning, is about 6 o'clock in the morning. The Jewish day was measured, or the old Hebrew day was measured from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you have them going out at 6 in the morning, and then 9 in the morning, and then what's the next one? 6th, 9th, and 11th hours, literally the whole way through the day until about 5 o'clock in the evening. Literally, the ones who have been working all day would be thinking about finishing for the day, and here's these new workers coming along. And so he fills the vineyard with workers. And some come in fresh, some maybe a little bit tired, some with much experience, and some with not even quite sure what it is they're going in to be doing. And maybe having to be shown by others, like, we've done this, this, and this, and this is for you. But whichever way it is, every time the Lord goes out, he says, come and follow me, and I will give unto, what does he say? I'll give unto you eternal life. He says, I'll give you what's right. I will give you a penny a day. Now, a penny a day doesn't sound like much now. Even back when I was little, all it would buy you would be a bubbly. If anyone remembers those, a little piece of gum that you could blow bubbles with for hours. A penny would buy you one of those, and it used to be 2 pence for a refresher, which was about twice the size of a bubbly. And it had fizzy stuff up the middle. So if you were feeling particularly wealthy, you could get one of those instead of a bubbly. Or you could get so many blackjacks, or the other ones with the wee comics on them. A penny doesn't sound like much, but back in the day, it was enough to keep you alive for a day. It would buy you your day's groceries, and maybe you could put a little bit aside for the taxes that you had to give to Caesar. But this is what the Lord covenanted for them. It was life. A penny a day was enough to keep you alive. And the Lord of the vineyard, covenanted to these men for life, which is what he covenants to us for as well, for life eternal. You throw your lot in with me, he says, and save your soul. You repent of your sins, I'll wipe them away, and you will live forever with me in heaven. That sounds like a pretty good thing to me. So it comes to the end of the day, and it's time to square everybody up. Probably shouldn't be using that, because that's an old masonry term. But it's time to pay everybody for their labours. And this is a thing that always puzzled me a little bit, a few years back. Because the labourer, the master, the householder, the Lord says, pay those that were in last. And I used to think, well, is that not a sort of a slap in the face to everybody else that has done the majority of the work? And these people come in last, and they get sorted out first. But then I got to thinking about, they only did a very, very little. There's not really much to it. And the others who have done all the work will get to see, as these other ones are paid for all that they have done, that they have done so much more, and they will be able to appreciate their labours, and the other people entered into their labours, and they get to see. They are made to see. They have to wait and see all the benefits of their labour in the lives of these new and these fresh labourers. Now here's one thing, was the attitude in which, and It shows you one attitude. I'm sure there are people like ourselves that can read it and say, well, on one hand, I can understand why they would feel the way they do when these guys who have worked for an hour, the lord of the estate gives them a penny enough to keep them alive for a day to pay their bills, etc., etc. And people start asking, but we did more. They have wrought for an hour, we have wrought all day, and they get the same results. Now think about it, yeah, from a workman's perspective, it might not seem fair, but as the lord of the vineyard says, that's what we contracted for. We contracted for you to work all day, and I will pay you your wages. If I want to be more generous for those that have only worked for a little bit, well, not even more generous, but treat them the same as you, that's entirely up to me. And there are people that think that. I know of at least one person that thought because she had been a Christian for maybe 30 or 40 years, that she was a better Christian than everybody else. And even that very thought process held her back from being a good Christian. She expected others to serve her, or to be subservient to her, or to be less than her. And she then, at some point in her life, stopped growing, stopped learning. She was of this mind. But what we forget, and the real spirit of a Christian would say, is, isn't that wonderful that someone got saved? They got saved literally whenever they were about to step off into eternity. Instead of getting saved as a child, they got saved as an octogenarian, an 80-year-old man, or a septuagenarian, a 70-year-old man. What's a 60-year-old man? A hexagenarian? 60-year-old man, or a 50, or a 40, or a 30, they got saved in their teens, or they got saved in their 20s. And I remember an announcement of a minister about souls that had promised to serve the Lord, and I think there were something like a couple of adults and a child. And the minister said, well, in this prayer, I think it was, I'm probably getting this all wrong except the figures. And the minister said about these two full lives that would be dedicated to the Lord, these souls that had been saved. And one was a child, two were adults, and he was challenged about how do you make it two. He says, well, that little child has a whole life to dedicate to the Lord. These adults only have half a life to dedicate to the Lord because they have wasted a half. Saved is saved. Yes, you are robbing yourself of something, and I'll come to that in just a second. You're robbing yourself of time with the Lord and all the many blessings and helps that he has for you to help you through your life whenever you get saved early in life and take time to discover more about the Lord. But you should always be glad when people get saved. Yes, it is glorious for a murderer or an alcoholic or a harlot or a whoremonger or a drunkard or anything like that, any person like that, to get saved. It's marvelous. It is such a great contrast to go from being up to your neck in the filth and mire of the world to be walking on the straight and narrow road that leads to life. But it's even greater never, goodness, yes, we all have to be saved, but not to have to be pulled out of the muck and the mire because you're up to your neck in it, maybe just up to your feet in it, but you're still in the muck and the mire. I hope you know what I'm saying. Whenever you're young and those old habits have not been so deeply ingrained in your character, we should be glad when people get saved regardless of the age. Now the last little bit, and I'm going to come to verse number 12 in just a moment, where it talks about the man complaining a little bit. The last little bit says, many are called but few are chosen. And some take that to mean that that's talking about salvation. that God has it in his mind that even though everybody's called, he has it in his mind that only a few, that he will only ever choose a few. And that's not the case. God calls all men everywhere to repent. It is the sad state of man and his ignorance and his love for sin that only a few ever choose. And that thought is mirrored again whenever the Lord talked about the broad road that leads to destruction and many there be that are on it, and the straight and the narrow road that leads to life and how there's only a few that are on it. Let's go back and look at verse number 12, because this is where the perspectives, we can see the perspectives. In verse number 12, the complainers, the ones that have done all the hard work of the day, say, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden and the heat of the day." And I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about the saved souls that have lived for Christ the whole of their lives, that Christ has helped them through or been there for them for every part of their lives. I got to thinking about those two things, the burden and the heat. And let's just have a quick look at them without anything else, without any explanation other than the burden of the Christian. What is the burden of the Christian? This is how the world would see it. The burden of the Christian is a Bible the size of a breeze block or two house bricks. The burden of a Christian might be the time that is spent reading that Bible. Even if it's only 10 or 15 minutes at the start of the day, enough to work your way through the speed read, a chapter or two, just like getting your breakfast and getting your body going in the day, that fires up your soul a bit. Burden of the Christian might be to spend a bit of time in prayer. Lord, I have so much to do. Where am I ever going to find time with you in prayer? Burden of the Christian is to be out in church. I have to go to church, Lord, 3 times a week for my whole life whenever I served you. The burden of the Christian might be to take what you have in church, or you've heard in church, or has been expounded to you in church, and tell other people about it. Your outreach, you're going and telling every creature that they need to get saved. The burden of another Christian might be the preaching in the church. Lord, I have to get 3 or 4 or 5 sermons ready every week. The burden of a Christian might be using your talents and your skills to help the brethren or indeed to reach lost souls. In other words, doing work that you're not getting paid for and hoping that people will see your kindness and God working through you. Or the burden of a Christian might be to go to a foreign land as a missionary, away from everything and everyone they've known, to somewhere they don't know anything about, because God has said you need to go and tell those people about me. The burden of a Christian might be to lead the Sunday school. And one of the greatest burdens of the Christian is to part with our hard-earned cash and give God a tithe off of it. Or even to struggle with singing. If you're not a particularly good singer, it might be to struggle and sing good songs. Some might even say that the burden of a Christian is to be a faithful spouse, or to be a good parent, or a good son or daughter, to raise your children right, to be a good citizen, to pay your taxes. You're supposed to do those things anyway, and they have nothing to do with being a Christian. It is sad that so many people don't do those things, but you're supposed to do that. That's your natural love and affection. I am sure you can think of maybe a few other things that Christians should be doing. Let's have a quick look at the heat of the day. The burden is what we are supposed to do, and the heat of the day is what is done to us. whenever Will and I were out tracking yesterday, we started off zipped up, at least I did, and we hadn't walked for very far before the zip came down a bit, and then it came 3/4 of the way down, and then it was fully open, and then I decided it's too warm, and then I had to take my jacket off and carry it for the next 3/4 of an hour. The heat of the day for the Christian, believe the things the world, the flesh, and the devil will inflict upon you or try and do to you. Could be a temptation. Could be temptation to lie in your bed or to take something that isn't yours, to bear a false witness, to take a life for your own profit. That's murder and killing. And as a soldier or a law enforcement officer is a different thing. Could be even immorality. There are so many temptations. Look at the Ten Commandments and turn them on their head and see what your temptation will be. To have a different God in your heart. To be cheeky to your mom and dad when they tell you you need to be doing this. I used to hate Saturdays. I tried to get my chores in on a Friday, but sometimes my dad caught me for washing the car or hoovering it out or cutting the grass, and I hated them. I don't know of one time I ever really enjoyed doing them until I was doing them for myself and thought, hey, you know what? I'm glad I did that whenever I was little, even though I hated it. It taught me what I needed to do. Anyway, we have temptation. And it is inflicted upon us, and it's something we have to resist, just like the heat of the day. We have persecution for our stand for God. And how the world treats you, how your fellows treat you, your neighbours, your fellow countrymen, the people that you rub shoulders with every day. They are all for heading out and they're having a work do. And you don't get invited because they know you're a Christian. And they come home or back and they're talking about what a wonderful time they have. There is a little bit of us that feels left out. There is a bit of that's like a, what do you call it? Well, a passive aggressive persecution. And then there'll be the outright persecution when people call you a holy Joe. Or the government puts laws in place which say it's okay to kill your little children. That'll be shortly followed by it's okay to kill your elderly with abortion and euthanasia. And it doesn't matter what fancy name you put on it, it's still murder. It's just murder. And it's murder for profit and murder for convenience. You may even find that there'll come a time whenever you're not allowed to enter certain stores because of your stand for Christ. You might even have to wear an armband like the Jews did back in Nazi Germany. And you weren't allowed to own a shop or you weren't allowed to work. You were made poor. And then you were shipped away to a ghetto and fed rubbish and treated badly. We can't see that in this country because we have such a Christian foundation in this country. And even in spite of all the badness that the devil and the world and popular opinion and even the feelings of men, the ruin that they cause in this country, it is amazing the power of Christ has kept it where it is for, what, when did Patrick die? For 1,000 years. 800, 900 years. It is still nominally religious and Christian. There'll be persecution. There'll be hardship because of your stand for Christ. Because there are jobs, for instance, that you'll not be able to go for. Why would you go and work in an off license? Why would you go and work in the hospitality trade that involves so much alcohol? I even, a few years back, read an account of a lady in Germany, I think it was, or Austria, that was forced to go and work in a brothel because brothels are government, how would you put it, recognized and legal tax-paying institutions. And she didn't want to go and work in a brothel. And she got her benefits cut. There will be hardships. That is just one example. There will be loss of opportunities for exactly the same reason. I can't do that. I can't work in a pub. I can't work in a bar. I can't work in an off license. Yeah, I might work for Tesco's or Sainsbury's, but I'm not going to stack the shelves and make it easy for people to destroy their lives. That's going to cause friction and hardship. I remember coming to church one Sunday morning, back in the days when I was on call. Had the mobile phone for work, and I had an equally sized mobile phone of my own. One in each pocket. It was good for weight training back in the day. They weren't that bad. And I got a call at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, right, I've learned my lesson. I'm going to get the shirt and tie on, and my jacket and trousers and shiny shoes, and turned up at work looking like I was coming for a business meeting instead of hitting the keyboard and maybe loading the printer for a few hours. And then I came, finished in good time for church, gathered up a few folks, and came to church. Left the phone, the work phone, out in the car. Checked it dutifully whenever I came back in. Came back into the car from church. And there were 2 or 3 missed calls. And I thought, this will be interesting. So I rang and they said, we got Martin. We got the boss. And I thought, Monday morning's going to be interesting. Monday morning I landed in and he was there and he said, where were you on Sunday morning? It could go 1 of 2 ways. Go, oh, I'm terribly sorry, it'll not happen again. Or what I said was, I was in church, it's not negotiable, don't ever ask me that again. It can go 1 of 2 ways. And there are consequences to that. But there's also glory and power and praise in that. And that means man's mind, God, is put on a pedestal. God is lifted up. There will be, or there could be, the loss of belongings, finances, even loved ones. Not because of your stand in Christ, and these things happen to people in general, losing loved ones and belongings and things like that. But because of your stand for Christ, you could even lose your own life. What do you do? Not just the bog standard things that happen to everybody, because these things do happen to people. But the things that happen to you, the things that you have to bear because of your stand for Christ. Now some people might say, oh, that's awful. Yes, there are things. Remember what the Lord said. Do you remember the Tower of Siloam that fell on those 14 souls? Do you think that was karma? Jesus said. Do you think that was because of their evil deeds? Because they said the same thing about the man born blind. Was that his fault or his parents' fault? Jesus said, things happen in this world. And being good does not mean that bad things won't happen. But whenever you're a son or a daughter of the King of Kings, it means you have the King of Kings there to help you through them. In the case of those that perish, the King of Kings would have them, what did it say about Lazarus? Carried into paradise by the angels. In the case of those that lost their lives and were Christ rejectors, they would be buried and lift up their eyes in hell, being in torments. People would say, I don't have that time to do all of the things that a Christian does. Or I don't want to have to go through the hard times that you go through because you are a Christian. And that's fine. Because some of them can be life-changing. But the Christian, that's the perspective of the world. The time investment. The blood, sweat, and tears investment. And the things that are inflicted upon you simply because you're going against the flow. People say, I don't fancy that. Why should I have to go through all of that and someone gets saved on their deathbed and have to go through none of it and still get saved and go to heaven? It's because you're saved by faith. That's what it looks like when you look at it from the outside. But when you look at it from the inside, when you're the saved soul and you open your Bible, you have God Almighty talking to you. And he's not talking to you with a wagging finger. Sometimes he's talking to you with an arm around your shoulder and wiping away your tears. Sometimes he's talking to you, and we'll put it in modern terms, high-fiving you and saying, you did a great job, and a slap on the back. Let's get up and do some more. Sometimes he's talking to you and saying, that would be a good time for you not to talk. And other times he's saying, now is the perfect time for you to talk. Think of your favorite Bible verse, say it in your head, and I guarantee you, I will give you the exact words that the folks around you need to hear, and everything will be grand. As far as convicting them of sin and judgment become. We get to go to church. Should you do nothing else in the week, turning up at church is being obedient to God. He said in Hebrews not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Turning up in church is obeying God. Being faithful. That's a big thing. Or talking to people about the Lord. Let's be honest. Whenever we love a thing or we're interested in a thing, sometimes you can't shut us up. We just love to talk about it. The thrills that it gives us. The joy that it gives us. The accomplishment that we can get. Or, as they say in video games, leveling up our ability to not manipulate, but use the word of God to strike down those strongholds that are built up on people's hearts and tell them about the great things that God has done for them. We get to do that. Or we get to go to Sunday school. There's one thing that I have noticed about people that are proficient and skillful in a task, or you know what I mean, people that are good at something. I have a friend that has studied judo for 30 years. He's a second or third dan, that's Clive. He is very good at judo. And you know what he does because he loves it so much? He coaches judo. And he teaches other young people. And he gets a great thrill out of seeing them grow and come on. I'm the same. I feel the same about the Lord. I want for people to learn about God and to walk with God and to see how great it is. And the thrills that a soul can have. The thrills that God gives that when people don't have, they go looking for these thrills elsewhere. If we saw the things that we contended against when we put a leaflet through a door, or even whenever we were lying in our bed, the devil might be saying, look, once he gets out with 200 leaflets in his hands, he is going to put those all in through doors. Our best way of getting him is making sure he has a rough night's sleep, or making the bed comfortable so he doesn't want to get out, or giving him an upset stomach or something. That's our best way of getting him and stopping him. If we saw that, we would say, goodness, the devil really hit. He really hates me. He considers me a worthy adversary that he would take time to slow me down. And I'm getting up and doing it anyway. People think whenever you say, praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, look at Holy Joe there. Or when you're being a good godly spouse or a good godly son or parent. That seems like an awful lot of work. I just want to make my children happy. Friends, happiness comes from accomplishment. It's not an end in itself, it's a byproduct of getting things done. And again, when we go through the temptations and the persecutions and the hardships, the loss of opportunities, of assets and belongings, of friends and family, we think, you know, the world thinks it's not worth it. But the Christian says, everybody is going through those, but I get to go through them with God. I get to go through them and learn that God can get me through that little problem. Maybe he can get me through a bigger problem. And when he gets me through a bigger problem, maybe he can get me through a bigger problem. And so as you go, as that little fire starts to burn, it starts off with a firelighter and tiny wee bits of kindling. Then before you know it, you're throwing logs in the fire. Because there's coming a day, Christian, when the greatest leap of faith we ever have to take is when these bodies stop and we trade in these mortal bodies for immortal bodies. We step off into eternity with God's hand in ours. It becomes easier and easier and easier to trust God the more you trust God. It's a bit like I've heard some older Christians talking about their arthritis. They say, boy, the joints were like Rice Krispie Christians. We get the snap, crackle and pop whenever we stand up. But you know what? We have to stand up and we have to keep moving because it's easier to move whenever you keep moving. And it's easier to be a Christian the longer you keep being a Christian. We get to do these things with God. We get the ministrations of angels. When we stick our head above the parapet in the world, God will armor us and provision us. Guide our hands whenever we're firing a few pot shots back at the world, the flesh and the devil. We get the promise of God that no matter what happens, we're safe and secure in the palm of his hand. Our salvation will never, ever come into question. But I mentioned the ministrations of angels. The Lord said he would send them to provide for us and to help us. The changing of men's hearts and minds whenever they see the difference it makes in our lives and maybe even want it for themselves. People are missing the point. You even think about the men that were working all day in the master's vineyard. They worked morning, noon, and night. 11 hours of working with and for God. I've heard many tales of labourers working on the farms here. A good day's work, a big feed, two or three feeds in the day. The farmer's wife coming out with a pot of spuds, normal, I'll tell you, and the beef and the best of meat and a big of feed that would knock you down, but it builds you up. There's so many things at work. Whenever you set out to labour, yes, it might tire you out, but it strengthens your arms, your legs, and your back. It focuses your mind on the things, on the tasks at hand. Those are all good. But more than that, when you're doing those things, you can't be out doing anything bad. When you're serving them, you can't be out drinking when you're working on the field. You can't be out carousing whenever you're working on the field. You can't be out lying, cheating, and murdering whenever you've got your nose to the grindstone. And people don't realize, many Christians don't realize, that it is a blessing to walk and talk with God. It is a blessing to invest that part of your life in God's labors. Because when it's invested with God, there's always a return, and a good one. And the devil can't take that. It's like the old saying, but an idle mind's the devil's workplace. Is that right? And the devil makes work for idle hands. Even just a simple example of Norman, myself, and Clyde, whenever we were working on splitting wood, I would say there was probably 7 days of hard labour in that. I can guarantee you, when you're working with a chainsaw, you're not daydreaming about your favourite movie. I think we had Chainsaw Church there as one of our services a while back. You're making sure your fingers stay away from that blade and that you're doing what you need to do to make sure the wood gets to the chainsaw safely and securely so that the other person can do their job. And then they're being careful, and when they're cutting that, I'm rolling up the next one. You're paying attention. You're building your muscles. You're strengthening your back. I know it doesn't feel like it today, so please pray for my back. It's killing me at the moment. And I'm not out lying, cheating, murdering, stealing, committing adultery, worshiping idols. The Lord was keeping me from all of those things whenever I was with him. And whenever it's all said and done, at the end of the day, at the end of our lives, we can look back And Romans 8 and 28 just comes to the fore and says, it all worked out for the best because I got saved and because I did what God asked me to do. That's it. And I want to tell you something. When you're in a tight spot, and I mean a tight spot where eternity is literally within touch, Romans 28 is the only verse that will comfort you. Everything's good. I got saved, and I did something for God. That is a great comfort. It's worth remembering. It's a completely different way of seeing things. Whenever you're on the outside looking in, people see the Bible and the church attendance, and they hear the holy songs, and they hear about people going off to foreign countries. They hear about the hard times they have. But when you're on the inside, you're looking out, you're thinking, those poor souls, they know nothing about God. Their lives are steeped in alcohol and immorality, profanity and blasphemy. What a way to live a life. The people looking in are saying, what a way to live a life. I'm sure there's equal amounts of money and effort going into both of them, but the telling time, the proof of the pudding, is that final step in a person's life. That step off into eternity. It's either with God, in which case you see Jesus open arms saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Or you, I don't know, does he stand with his arms folded and say, depart from me, you cursed one, into everlasting fire. For the devil, those prepared for the devil and his angels. I know what I would want. And I, yes, we have all spent, I'm sure, a year or two. Monica didn't, because she was very, very little when she got saved. But we've spent a year or two on the outside looking in. You know it from both sides. And I'm going to tell you here and now, I am glad I am where I am. I'm glad I'm on the inside of God's grace and God's protection, looking out and wishing that those on the outside were inside with me. I hope that makes sense. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time and attention. God bless you. I've got one more song to sing. It's in the wee black book. It's just across the page from, which one did we sing, 10 or 11?
11, just 10, I knew the Lord.
Yep, that's one or the other. If it suddenly seems like you've sung it before, you know it should have been the other. Let's stand as we sing, hymn number 10, Binding the Lord.
Roll the soul away.
Amen. Thank you for a good time. God bless you. Let's bow our heads and dismiss with a word of prayer.
Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time we set aside. Please take and use it. Lord, help us not to be weary and well-doing. Help us not to faint, to wait and wait, and we'll rise up with things like you. Lord, bless us as we part company and as we head home and see us safely there on the roads. And Lord, looking forward to be back the next appointed time, in about 7 hours. We love you and thank you. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
That rain.